Greetings, it's Terry at Cottage in the Court. Well, you know, we're kind of in a faux spring. We think it's spring. The air temperature says it's spring. But if you check the temperature of your soil, that's the important part of gardening. Soil is everything, but we have to understand it. We also have to understand composting. Now, composting is a part of gardening. We will all do it at some point, even if it's putting it in one of those brown bags. Composting is important. And like anything else, there's a right way, a wrong way, and a way that's kind of an opinionated process, I'll say. Do we put it in a container and roll it around? Do we wind up a container like a clock? Or do we just put it in a pile and let it rot? Well, I've got Mrs. Know-It-All here with a few words on composting. Hi, Mrs. Know-It-All. How are you?
Hi, Terry. How are you?
I'm absolutely wonderful. So I saw some worms in my garden this week in my compost pile. They were not the jumping worms.
That's good.
But I started thinking about compost. So let's talk about compost. What do we need to know?
Okay, so compost is just a breakdown of organic materials. So when you're making compost, you want equal parts of brown material, like chopped up leaves, or, you know, very finely chopped branches or twigs. You actually don't want branches. And you want green material. So the green material can be anything from grass clippings that haven't been treated, you haven't had, you know, lawn service in, to what were you getting ready for dinner and chopping up? So, you know, so it could be watermelon rinds, it could be lettuce that you found in the back of the refrigerator. That wouldn't be the first time. I'm sure everybody's found things back there.
Yeah.
As long as that you can't use anything that's greasy, no meat, mm-hmm. no fish, and you have, you know, a wide variety of things. Now, and there's different ways to make compost. Mm-hmm. There's the bins that you open up and is on a stand and you kind of rotate it and mm-hmm. add things to it. You can also add some manures to it. So mm-hmm. what's really good is rabbit manure mm-hmm. because it's not very hot, but it breaks down. In fact, if you have rabbits, you can actually put that directly in the garden. Mm-hmm. If you have chickens, you can put some of that in there as well. You cannot use cat, dog, or human waste. Mm-hmm. I've heard people wanting to do that. That transmits disease. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, we're trying to garden healthy, not right. ending up in the hospital.
So quick question. Chicken. Yes. The chicken manure is not too hot?
It's not too hot, no. You can also, if you've got a horse farm nearby, you know, mm-hmm. you can go and take a 5-gallon bucket with a lid or a heavy duty plastic bag and a little shovel. I've done it for years and put it, you know, in there and towed it home. Don't make any stops on the way home. You don't want the car to stink up too much.
Now, some people say, oh, but I put horse manure in and I got all these weeds.
Well, horses eat weeds. They, you know, I mean, you know, and sometimes, you know, on its way out, it doesn't completely break down, mm-hmm. but it's better to put the horse manure in your compost than it is directly on your garden, because you actually need a season for that to break down. But almost anything, you know, especially if you till your garden, you're going to bring up weed seeds.
Right.
Some weed seeds are viable for 40 years, and that's scary, especially crabgrass. Mm. So, you know, that's something that you want to try to avoid, but weeds are kind of a part of life as much right. as we don't want them. Gives us right. exercise.
Right, exactly. It also creates an environment for us to be intimate with our gardens.
Yeah, you keep telling yourself that. Now, you can also use llama poop. And a friend of mine actually raises llamas and alpacas. Uh-huh. And the one thing I discovered, because she also shows hers at fairs, mm-hmm. is you can train them to go potty in one place. They get those little carpet remnants you get at the dollar store and put a little poop and you put them in the corner, because they groom them, they bathe them and brush them and everything so they look pretty for the show. So in order to keep their fur or their wool from getting dirty, mm-hmm. they can go poop right in this little area and they can just empty it. But it is not hot, and it's along this, it's a little bigger than deer poop. So, and if you have deer, you could actually use that, but I'm pretty sure most people want to keep deer out of their garden and not in their garden.
Mm-hmm.
And true. So, you know, that's perfectly acceptable to use.
Hmm.
You know, and so when you're building a compost pile bin, you know, there's, like I said, there's the one that you rotate. There's another one that it just sits on the ground and it has all kind of angles on it. You put everything in it and you periodically roll it around. This is work. I don't really need to be doing that sort of thing. And I'm not that graceful. I'll probably fall. There's something called an earth bin, although there's various names for them. You can actually put everything in and it has a top. It looks like a upside down garbage can, or if you're a fan of Doctor Who, it looks like one of the Daleks. And anybody that's listening that has watched Doctor Who will know exactly what I'm talking about. At the bottom, there's like a little drawer that you lift up and you can shovel out the finished compost. Now, the key to compost is it still has to have some moisture and it still has to be turned. So in something like that, I have this tool, I don't even know what to call it, but when you push it down into the compost and then pull it back up, it opens up its wings and actually turns it for you. Mm-hmm. And you should always kind of keep a well, kind of like, you know, when you made dough and mm-hmm. you had a well, same thing. So the moisture can get in there. So you always want to keep it slightly moist. You don't want it dripping wet. Mm-hmm. And the worms will get in there and the other little microorganisms will help break it down. Now, if you are using the three bin method, and that can be made out of anything, it could be three wire cages.
Mm-hmm.
One of our master gardeners took pallets and built three of them.
Mm-hmm.
So as the season would go on, she would, when one would be full, she'd move to the second one and then the third one. And then by that time, the first one would be a finished compost because they still need some air to help break down everything. It's mm-hmm. Aerobic composting.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps break it down. So like I said, you know, a lot, you can buy compost buckets to keep on your kitchen sink. You know, if you have that much room on your countertop, I cut apart a milk jug, cut off the top, it leaves a handle, and I throw cucumber peelings in there, that old piece of lettuce, watermelon rind. It helps if the stuff is chopped up somewhat because it takes longer to break it down. Banana peels are really good. And like I said, it's great.
Can you put onions in your compost?
Yes, you can put onions in your compost. Now, the skins, kind of crumble them. Take eggshells and crumble them up. Don't put them in your garden because you don't get that much calcium out of the eggshells. What they're really good for when you grind them up is they provide grit for the worms to help mm-hmm. them digest everything. So that's really where you want to put your eggshells. You know, rinse mm-hmm. them off, crumble them up, throw them in the compost pile, mm-hmm. and you're good to go.
Have you ever added worms to your compost pile?
I have just kind of taken a shovel of garden soil and kind mm-hmm. of thrown it in,
mm-hmm.
and that's good to go. I have in the past had a worm bin,
mm-hmm.
and I used to keep it in my family room, just kind of in a corner behind the thing. And every Sunday, I would feed it. And so I would take, you know, I'd add some more shredded newspaper, and I would add like pieces of banana or whatever. And as soon as I would go near it, my one cat, Bella, would come, and she was fast. She could, cats have extraordinary hearing. You know, they can hear things that we can't. And she would sit there, and she'd look, and she could hear them. But it was like clockwork. She'd be there. It's like, come on, Bella, it's time to see your friends. and she would be right there. I had to move them around, and we kind of forgot about them. They got a little too cold, and that was kind of the end of the worms. So yeah, it happened.
I did vermicomposting when I was in Fredericksburg, and all the little neighborhood kids would come by, and Miss Merle, can we play with your worms? It's like, okay.
You know, what? People are afraid of worms, and I can't imagine why. You know, when my daughter was little, you know, I'd have her in the garden, and I put in, she goes, oh, they tickle and everything. She showed them to little boys next door, and they'd run and cry. And they were older than her.
Most kids love worms. I don't know why, but they do.
Yeah. Oh, I'm fine with them, but they're necessary.
I use a slow or a lazy way of composting. Two ways. I just make my piles and let it rot. I layer them. I borrow other people's grass because I don't have grass in my yard. But also in the fall, those brown bags, I have a tendency to put them at the very back of my lot. I'm on a third of an acre. I put them at the very back. I let it rot. Plow and Hearth used to sell these burlap bags that you could fill with leaves and let it rot. So I'm in the let it rot world, throw it over the hill, let it sit. When I need compost, go to the bottom of the hill, get some of that good compost, some of those leaves, wonderful stuff. Haven't spent a dime. I love doing
that. Absolutely.
Yeah. Now, what do you feel about bagged compost that you buy in a store?
It's perfectly acceptable. You know, and there's people that simply, you know, they're in a postage stamp lot with no place to have a bin. Some places, as somebody gets their knickers in a twist, oh, they're going to draw rats. If you compost properly, you will not have rats.
Thank you.
You won't even, you know, but some people, you know, have to cause problems.
Yeah.
And, or if they live in an HOA, you know, they're not allowed to have that sort of thing. So using bag compost is perfectly acceptable. Now, where I live, there is it's called Ag Recycle. And they actually produce PGA certified compost, and you can buy it in different screenings. Now, the minimum delivery is 4 yards. That's a lot of compost. That's a lot of wheeling uphill for me. So, but my girlfriend Sandy has a truck, a pickup, and a yard fits very nicely in the back of her truck. And that works very well for me. But, and I get the very fine screen stuff. Yeah. You can get it, you know, if you're going to be turning it into, you know, a garden plot or something, using a coarser is fine. And there may be, you know, places in your area that do it as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about mushroom manure. Good, bad, indifferent?
Mushroom manure, it's perfectly acceptable, especially for a lawn. When you aerate your lawn in the fall, it's great to top dress it with mushroom manure, because grass likes a little bit higher of a pH, 7 or above. That's why they recommend liming your garden, or not your garden, I'm sorry, your lawn periodically. You always want to get a soil test right off the bat, get a soil test. But adding the manure, mushroom manure, is fine. If you're adding it to your vegetable garden or your flower beds or your landscape, you have to watch. You can raise the pH. I know people say, oh, I put mushroom manure on every year, and then they're like, you know, some of my stuff's not doing too good. You've raised the pH too high.
So composting, you know, I got that one question, compost tea.
I got people not going to like my answer either.
I know, but that's why I saved it for last.
Of course you did.
Break it down.
Okay. So I had this conversation with our county health department. So this just isn't you know, something that I'm making up. Compost tea, it can cause, you can get E. coli from it. You can get salmonella from it, because compost tea, the microbes are really only viable for a couple of hours, and people recommend letting it sit for at least 24 hours or longer, or maybe just over the summer. And the problem with that is it starts to do what we call anaerobic composting, which is without oxygen. And that's where the bacteria start to grow and, you know, all the baddies. And people spray it on the leaves of their plants. I know people that spray it on their tomatoes. I don't care. I'm not eating tomatoes out of their garden. And if you're handling it, you have to think about the elderly, children, immune compromised, like cancer patients, you know, people with other health issues. They're touching it with their bare hands, you know, because, oh, it's organic. I'm in the garden, you know, how wonderful. Well, it's really not the best idea. I've been a licensed pesticide applicator for 30 plus years. And I can tell you that during training, they tell you that one of the easiest places to absorb any type of chemical of any kind is through the palms of your hands, and you're touching it. And you're absorbing it into your skin and into your bloodstream, you know. So, you know, I always wear gloves in the garden right off the bat. I always wear gloves. There's any number of things you can get from the soil, you know, besides dirty hands. That's why you don't want to work with compost tea. You know, it's fine. Put all the compost you want around your plants. You know, dig it into the soil. Top dress them periodically. Don't use the compost tea, you know, because you just don't want to take a chance that somebody's going to. It does not cure anything.
Could you use it on houseplants, though?
Compost tea?
Mm-hmm.
No. Now the time to start fertilizing houseplants. March through September is the best time to do it. After that, stop, because the plant's kind of going into suspended animation. They're really not going to put on growth.
Yeah. If you notice, your houseplants are beginning to look a little peppier, so to speak. So one quick question. I did a talk earlier today, and we were talking about soils. Break down why you should not use garden soil to start seeds.
Okay. So using garden soil in the house to start your seeds, there's little no-see-ums in there. There's bacteria in there, there's viruses in there that might be fine outside because there's other elements that can take care of it. It might be the cold, it could be, you know, the rain or a drought. Inside, you don't have those conditions. And you're also trying to grow a baby, you know, so you wouldn't like give a baby a beer, you'd give him formula.
I like that analogy. You wouldn't let a six-year-old drive a car.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's like,
I still like the beer and formula analogy.
Yeah, that's better than mine. That's for sure. So keep the outdoor soil outdoors.
Outdoors. And not only that, your seed mix is a soilless mix.
Right.
You know, whereas obviously the garden stuff isn't.
No.
And so there's no disease. It's a sterilized soil. Or mix, actually, not soil.
Okay. Just wanted to make sure I was correct, because that question does come up a lot as I speak to new gardeners. It's like, why do I have to buy seed starting mix? Because those little tiny baby tender roots need to go through some soil that's nice and airy and friable. And garden soil is not it.
No. And, you know, when you're buying potting mix, you actually, when you're starting your seeds, you want to buy seed starting mix.
Exactly.
Because that's very fine. Whereas potting mix for like your house plants or whatever, it's a little coarser. Not that it's terrible. Like if you're doing a nasturtium seed in there, which is large, that's one thing. If you're putting impatiens or petunias in there or tomato seeds, it's going to be tough trying to get it to grow out of there. Yeah. And I'm sure there's somebody that's going to say, I do it all the time. But you know, here again, it's the luck of the draw.
Right. And for new gardeners, you were right the first time.
Yeah.
You know, you can try 5 years from now something new and different and go against the grain. But if you're just getting started, do it right the first time. You're going to have better results, and it definitely is less stress.
So, and I have to say, and I say this all the time, and I upset a few people, gardeners are really cheap sometimes.
And yeah, frugal.
Now, some of them are just downright cheap.
Talk to an expert. Your show is on Sunday mornings?
Yes.
And it's on Sunday mornings for a reason, so it can hit your brain early. And what's the radio station again?
It's KDKA Radio AM in Pittsburgh. It's 1020. And you can also pick it up on radio.com. Mm-hmm.
And then your website on Facebook, you are?
I am Mrs. Know-It-All. And it wasn't my idea to give me that name. I was going for Garden Goddess.
Well, you're both of those things. And that's why we love you. Thank you so much for spending a little time with me.
Oh, and I had a good time.
Well, everyone who knows me knows I love people that have gardened for many years, have been professionals in their field, and share information along with some giggles. Thank you, Denise. Thank you so much, Mrs. Know-It-All. If you're familiar with Cool Springs Press, you would know that they have some pretty awesome books. One of the people that I interviewed on The Great Grow Along was Michelle Balls. Her latest book, No Waste Composting, shares tips for anyone and everyone that's thinking about composting, even if you live in an apartment and merely have a balcony. Her prior book, Composting for a New Generation, is also a terrific read if you are considering composting. If you would like to hear that interview, it is on the Dig Deeper track at The Great Grow Along. Yes, you can still purchase tickets, and all of the content is available for the next 6 months, but we're counting down. I think we're about down to 5 months now. That's thegreatgrowalong.com. And check out Michelle Ball's book, No Waste Composting. In the meantime, I'd like to thank you for continuing to follow me. My website, cottageinthecourt.com, Instagram and Twitter, Cottage in Court, Facebook, Cottage in the Court, and most importantly, get outside and get your hands dirty.